First and foremost, I want to thank both Worth Baptist Church and Heritage Baptist Church for supporting us this past year. And, you know, it's been a slow and steady road, but God is continually leading forward and blessing every step of the way. So thank you very much. You'll go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 2. I don't want to take too much time, and just want to share some thoughts with you. As you know, Brother Crawford called and asked me to preach, and you know, with the theme "All for the Glory of God," there are a lot of different places I could have gone, but Philippians chapter 2 kept coming back to mind. And another, as we were actually on our way down yesterday, I got a text from a fellow alum. Many of you probably know, and I don't believe in coincidence. We're on our way down, and I get this text from Waylon Fontaine, who is now up in Millerton, Pennsylvania, serving under another alumni, Danny Medford. But I get this text from him, and all it says is, "The sun will burn your eyes out from 92 million miles, and you expect to casually stroll into the presence of its creator." And with the theme, "All for the Glory of God," you know, talking about the glory of God, you know, that can't be more on point. If you know Waylon, you know what I'm talking about. And he had no idea I was coming here. We hadn't communicated on this. We text back and forth every once in a while, but we're not in a steady stream of contact. So he had no idea I was coming here to preach or anything. But God works in many ways and brings things right at the right moment. And I thought it a fitting reminder with remembering the glory of God. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 2. If you're there, we'll start reading in verse number 1. "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today, Lord, and I thank you just for the opportunity again to preach your word, Lord, to these gathered here. I don't take that lightly, Lord. I just want to step aside, Lord. Step in, fill, speak through me, Lord. I thank you for that promise where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you're in the midst of them, Lord. I pray that you're here in our midst, Lord. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. So there are two forms of glory in this passage, and I feel we must cover the first to find our way to the second. The first one is actually just barely mentioned in passing almost in verse number 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory." I looked up the definition on that because I've heard it many times and I can understand the concept, but it's sometimes nice to go back, even though I understand it, to go back and actually read the definition of it. And that's the great thing about our King James Bible, too. If you don't understand a word, please go look it up. Don't go to a cheap knockoff version. Go with what's in here. If you don't understand the word, get you an old Webster's Dictionary. You put it right there next to your Bible. Look it up. It's usually a lot deeper. That's off topic, but the definition of vainglory: excessive or ostentatious pride, especially in one's own achievements, vain display or show. And reading that definition, I'm sure, like me, many of you have thought of someone that you've known in your life that could fit that, whether it's a coworker or school or neighbor. Don't start looking around. I hope there's no one here like that. But there's always someone in this world like that. And we're always going to be stuck around someone like that. I've had many a coworker and different things like that. And last night, Brother Stewart summed it up real nicely when he quoted Dr. Barber: "Man wrapped up in himself is a mighty small package." I mentioned that we were driving down yesterday. We wanted to be here Monday night, but even before Brother Crawford called me and asked me to preach, I had already gotten another call. My best friend was getting married this past Monday. And so we were up in Branson, Missouri for that wedding, and it was kind of an all-day thing, so we were driving down yesterday from that. With that, he works at Sight and Sound, and that's why it was in Branson, because that's where he lives. But while we were there, we went up early to kind of help and different things, but he also got us into a showing, which they're doing right now, David. And, you know, it really makes me think, this definition with them doing David makes me think of Goliath. You know, Goliath was at least 9 feet tall. You know, he was the champion of the Philistines. He was the smallest of his brothers, but he was still the champion, so that's saying something. There were a lot of things for Goliath to be proud of, but Goliath was a man wrapped up in himself. What could a shepherd boy do against that? But the difference was, is David was a shepherd boy that was a man after God's own heart. He was wrapped up in God rather than wrapped up in David. You know, there's a picture I love. I haven't seen it in years that pictures this perfectly. It's Goliath and David. They're face to face, which didn't actually happen in the scriptures, but they're face to face with each other, kind of having that typical stare off you see. And of course, Goliath's staring way down at David. But behind David, you see God staring down at Goliath. That's exactly the perfect picture of that, because, you know, and David says that. He says, "You've defied the armies of the living God." So, from vainglory, we need to go to true glory. And we go in the first 8 verses. Paul says, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." You know, he talks about your mind. It doesn't matter what's on the outside. It's all about your mind. Your mind, I've heard a lot of jokes, we're just, there's just a lump of flesh driving a flesh robot. But ultimately, it's your mind. Your mind is what's going to continue. And we have a soul. There's a lot more to that joke that people don't understand about the human body and soul and spirit. But like David, we should want to be like Christ. We should want to have the mind of Christ. You know, the name Christian has been so construed. We were called Christians first at Antioch. And that was not a great and mighty woohoo term, you know, kind of like the term Baptist wasn't just this title that we put on all our church buildings originally. Christian meant little Christ. It was almost a taunt. But the Christians took that and was like, yes, that's exactly what we want to be, little Christs. And that's what we should still want to be. It's not about us. It's about Him. What was the mind of Christ? Well, it's summed up, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was humble. Christ was humble. You know, and as was mentioned, my pastor is my dad, but I've heard him mention over the years, ever since I was a kid, even to this day, you know, humility is not about, oh, poor pitiful me, I'm worthless. Jesus wasn't walking around with his slumped shoulders thinking, oh, I'm a terrible person, I'm not deserving of anything. Christ was still God, and he still knew that, but he still humbled himself. Humility is not about just being, oh, poor pitiful me. It's about setting yourself under authority. It's strength under control. You know, and what better strength than God Almighty? He was worthy of it all, and yet he humbled himself to become a man, to walk amongst sin-cursed earth, amongst sin-cursed men, and he put himself under the authority of the Father. We see that in multiple places where he says, you know, not my will, but thine be done. And he was showing us that humility, how to submit to that authority to humble ourselves. He even stooped to washing the disciples' feet. How many wants to start going around and pulling people's shoes off and washing their feet? I know there's some churches that do that, and I still don't understand it. Yet Christ did that. He went to his disciples and washed their feet. And he even submitted unto death. God has control over death. So why would he submit to it? Well, to the glory of the Father. By renewing relationship between God and man. You want to talk about true balancing of the scales? We talk about justice and balancing scales and all of that. Really, the only one who required justice was God. If each and every one of us got what we deserved, we'd all be in hell right now. Me included. I wrap myself up in that. And yet, God came to man who broke that balance, who broke the law of God and redeemed us to himself. Why? To bring glory unto himself. Brother Stewart said it again last night, because the only right glory is the glory of God. Glory in man is not right. We are just created in his image. How do we bring glory to the Father, glory to God? Well, first of all, we can't have vainglory. Any vainglory is glory in ourselves, as is mentioned. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We have to bend that knee and acknowledge his glory and live in it. Or you will later. And first of all, that goes into salvation. If you're not saved here tonight, all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. But as a daily, we still have to bend our knee to Christ, because it's so easy. Our flesh is still here, and it's so easy just to stand right back up as saved Christians and go about living and glorying in ourselves. You know, Paul said, I die daily. We have to die daily. We have to be with him daily. We have to start the day off bending that knee. My life verse is Joshua 24:15. Choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether it's the gods which your father served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a daily choice. You have to choose every day. As Paul said again, I die daily. Glory in God now, and you have much to glory in eternity. But if you glory in self, it will only bring heartache. You know, 1 Corinthians 3 talks a little bit about that. Verses 11 through 17, no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if a man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it has been revealed by fire, the fire that shall try every man's work, what sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he will receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. If you're living to the glory of God, you're building up those things that will survive, the gold, silver, precious stones. If you're glorying in yourself, you're getting wood, hay, and stubble, which will be burnt up. So let's glory in him. It's his glory. That every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God should get the glory. And guess what? If you're giving God the glory for everything, when things mess up, the buck doesn't stop at you. It's in his hands. You've got nothing to worry about. Again, think in the end, wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, precious stones, will it survive? We're to cast our cares upon him. You know, it talks about, I believe it's in the book of Hebrews, that we can approach the throne because of Christ. It's through him, you know, going back to what Waylon sent me. We can't just stroll into the and look upon our just and holy God. But we can approach his throne every day through Christ because of what he did for us and because we're given the glory through him. You know, going back to the illustration of David, it doesn't make sense without God. But let me ask you, would you rather be a David or would you rather be a Goliath who at the end of that story was laying on his face dead? 9 feet tall. Probably, what, five probably. Young man with a sling and a stone, no armor, no spears, no swords. But he served the just and holy God. Give him the glory.